Blog Talk Radio.
My whole family has. And you go on and do something like this to me. A nigger baptizing a white man on my property. Do you know how this makes us look?
This could ruin everything we worked for.
Boy, you'd better say something and quick.
Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood.
Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering
you
again.
You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men.
He that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger.
Beware of false prophets who come dressed in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves.
All right. That was a clip from The Birth of a Nation, Nate Parker's directorial debut that I feel like I've been talking about for about a year now, and it's because I have been talking about it for about a year now. I'm Travis Hobson. This is Cinema Royale, and finally, we're going to officially review The Birth of a Nation with my homie Tim Gordon, of course, who saw it with me at Sundance way back in January. Now, I've not seen the movie since then. He's seen it like a dozen times or something like that, give or take one or two. So I may have just deferred to him in talking about this movie because he's seen it so many times. He's probably seen it. They edited it anywhere. And he, in general, probably has a better overall opinion of it than I do right now. Or at least a more focused opinion of it. But we definitely need to talk about the movie because it seems like so many are trying not to talk about it, which is weird, considering that a few months ago, this was the obvious frontrunner for Best Picture at next year's Oscars. But now, all of a sudden, it's kind of persona non grata. Nobody wants to talk about Birth of a Nation anymore. Nobody wants to talk about Nate Parker unless they're talking about stuff that has nothing to do with the movie. So I feel like, at the very least, we need to talk about the film a little bit and give you all a fair accounting of whether or not of the movie itself and where its place is in the Oscar races here, because I'm starting to fall under the impression that it's no longer in the race. But we'll discuss that with Tim also in a few minutes. And when we're done with that, we're gonna look at the general scene overall for black movies this year, because it is an incredible field of films based on the black experience. A couple years ago, Broadcast Film Critics Association, of which I'm a member, they had this thing that was like celebrating the year of black cinema, and it was the year Selma came out. So it was what, 2014 or something, like some shit like that. And it was a great event, a great night. They should have had that shit this year because the movies that are coming out based on the black experience are tremendous, and I feel like there's going to be a couple of those that are going to supplant Birth of a Nation in the Academy's eye as the go-to black film to celebrate. I think there are a few more easy options for them than Birth of a Nation probably would be. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But let's go ahead and bring Tim Gordon in here right now, the president of the Black Girl Awards. So I assume he should know something about black movies. What's up, Tim?
Hey, man, what's going on, my brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Busy morning. Been a busy week. You and I just did an interview with Gavin O'Connor yesterday for The Accountant. It's been crazy.
But doing what we do, man. Yep. Yeah. Most wonderful time of the year.
This is the award season. This is the busy season for us. This is like playoff season, and it feels like we just had this, like last year was just over, and now we're already in the next one. Does it seem like the year went really, really fast, or is it just me?
No, man. I mean, you got to remember, we're in a constant state, man, of different periods of movies, man. I mean, you do the festival circuit early in the year, of course, there's Sundance, maybe Tribeca. We need to start adding in Toronto before we get to Middleburg. But, you know, you're dealing with festival season, and then there's the summer season, and then, you know, a lot of what I call really stank movies. In the first and second quarter, man. I mean, just almost unwatchable films. Summer wasn't necessarily great. And you kind of get to where we are right now, which is what I call the home stretch, man. You know, October, November, December. And literally, it's not even December. It's actually like October, November, and like the first week of December, and it's a wrap.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And you look at the... Look at the month of December, man. The month of December has, like, no joking, about 10 movies that many consider to be best picture candidates. About six of them coming out on Christmas Day alone. So it is a tremendous, amount of movies that we still have left to see that we've not come close to seeing yet. We've already seen a handful. But there are still so many more that are left for us to see that we're going to be very, very busy for the next few months. So,
yeah, we are. We absolutely are.
But let's talk about one that 3 months ago we would have said is the clear front runner to be the best picture winner at the Oscars, and that's Birth of a Nation. Now, like I was saying before, you and I saw this way back in January. You were at the world premiere. I went to the one, I think that was like the next day or something like that. Back at Sundance. And at the time when you and I saw it, we both agreed this is going to be a Best Picture candidate. You liked it better than I did, but we both had an agreement that this was probably going to be one of the top movies of the year for sure, and it was an achievement for Nate Parker. A lot has changed since then, though, man. A lot has changed. But you've seen the movie about a half a dozen times now. How is your opinion on the movie now compared to when you saw it back in January?
Well, I will just start by saying I've only seen the movie one additional time since January.
It seems like every time I see you, you're either just coming back from seeing it or you're about to go see it again.
No, man. I actually went with you. You don't remember. I sat next to you when you saw it because I went back the next day to see it again, and then
I saw it
about a month ago. Yeah, I saw it a month ago, and I heard that he trimmed 20 seconds out of it, made the score a lot more dramatic, and there was only one other scene or one other quick thing I saw that wasn't in the original. But my opinion has not changed from this movie, and I know some people went out last night and had an opportunity to do some sneaks, and people were calling me like I'm Nate Parker, like, you know. And I'm like, dude, I'm just a film critic, man. I didn't hate the movie, but thank you that I'm glad you enjoyed it and thought it was powerful. But, yeah, a lot has changed, man, since August. And in ways, Travis, that you and I have talked privately, you know, on air, you know, we were not allowed. I'm putting them on blast. We were told by WETA and around town that we couldn't even review this movie, man. So this movie has been treated, and Nate Parker has been treated in ways that in the 25 years professionally that I've been doing this job and maybe 40 years that I've been watching movies and researching, this is unprecedented to me. And the only thing that makes any sense to me is that it's the message of the movie, which is what has created all of this, this confusion and controversy around it, rather than, I mean, what Nate Parker did or is alleged to have done is unspeakable, right? I would readily admit that. But the fact that that's been out for so long and people have known it for over 10 years, And, you know, he's put out three major films between then and now, before The Birth of a Nation, and it never came up as a talking point. Only tells me, Travis, that a lot of that is around this message of the film and Nat Turner and, you know, the actions of him as a character in the film that they don't, that as you said earlier, in jest, but it's more true, is that that's not something Hollywood wants to celebrate, man. We're not trying to put that message out there. But
right. The
film itself, like I said, man, I was at the world premiere, as you said, and was a part of the throng that cheered uncontrollably, man, you know, for this film. I thought it was powerful then. When I saw it, most recently, I still think it maintains that power. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I've seen 212 films so far this year, and it is still the best film I've seen this year, to me. I still think, Travis, I still think that despite the controversy, which has taken its toll for a lot of people, that the film's message speaks so much for itself that you cannot nominate this movie. It's got to be one of the nine best movies. We always say 10, but they always usually nominate 9. It's going to be one of the 9 films that is nominated for Best Picture. Now, it won't win, but it will be nominated because it is that much of an achievement for Parker. It's such a well-made movie, and I know people, I've read the folks at Variety and Deadline who, for whatever reason, have a vendetta against Parker, have tried to characterize it as a television film. I'm like, come on, man. Really? I mean,
you try to characterize as what?
It said it was in the quality of a TV movie. I'm like,
that's
my point is that, you know, much like I tune out ESPN and sports because I know football and you don't really have to explain it to me, I kind of know movies. So I'm not really going to listen to the throng tell me what my gut and my head are telling me and what I'm emotionally feeling. It's a great film, and I've seen, you know, Moonlight, and I've seen Loving, and I've seen a bunch of the contenders. Haven't seen Fences or Hidden Figures yet, or United Kingdom, which they moved to 2017. But, I mean, it is a really, really well-made film to me,
and I'm
going to keep it there.
Yeah, and look, you know my feelings on it. My feelings are well, because I haven't seen the movie again since January, my feelings remain pretty much the same. I think it's a quite an achievement by Parker. It's for a directorial debut. It's as strong a first film as I've seen recently. That doesn't mean it's perfect. I certainly don't think so. I do think his inexperience as a director shows. And sort of more in the way that the movie's momentum or lack thereof sometimes does not always stay up. Like there were times where I got a little bit bored. But what I do like about the film is the way that it explores Nate Parker the man more so than the rebellion itself. I like the fact that we see so much of him as the fiery preacher, and everything that he goes through that forges him into the character he is by the end of the movie. And when he does some terrible things at the end of the movie, but we see the reasons for it. And you have to remember the context of when he's his life. You have to put it all into proper context. And some are going to try and just focus on the terrible things he does during the rebellion itself. But you can't just do that. You have to look at the whole of the person and the whole of his life. And that's what Nate Parker, I think, attempts to do and does very, very well. I like his lead performance. I think he's always been a charismatic actor. I think he's as charismatic here as he ever has been. So that's not an issue. So I do think this is a very good movie. If I were to look at this outside of itself, would I say this is one of the 10 best movies I've seen this year? I don't think I would. I don't know if I would go that far. But looking in light of you know, the Hollywood's lack of diversity, looking at it in the context of today's society and you know, the rampant police violence against black people nowadays. The movie occupies a really important space, and I feel like that those are reasons why the movie should be nominated. I still have my doubts that it's going to be. I know you said that you think it'll still make it in there. I don't know, man.
Well,
I feel like they're gonna look for every excuse not to put it in.
Right, man. But here we go again, man. Let's really talk about this and have a brief discussion about these movies, right? And like I said, I've seen Sully. I mean, for the most part, up to date, you know, because you sit with me almost every day, or we see each other week after week. You know, we've seen the lion's share of the movies, right? So of course, there's Silence coming down the pike, and La La Land we'll check out in a couple of weeks, and Lion, and some of the other contenders, right? Now, when I talk about movies, you know, and movies that I really like, man, movies that you really like make some connection with you. Like, I remember this summer we saw The Neon Demon, and I remember being stunned when you told me you really, really liked that movie, and I was like, I wow. Movie. I didn't. Yeah,
thanks
didn't
for reminding me that. Thanks
all.
For reminding me that I need to get the Blu-ray. Thanks for reminding me that I need to order the Blu-ray.
Well, no, but I'm saying that to say, man, that different critics connect with material in different ways, man. So I was explaining to somebody last night after I had a chance to see Ava DuVernay's documentary, The 13th, that, you know, movies that talk about injustice, you know, like a slavery story, the Holocaust, and like the kind of like terrors that American Native Americans went through, or Native American Indians have gone through. Those stories always resonate with me when they're well done, because that's kind of in my emotional sweet spot. And it's like I look at movies sometimes, and you have to judge each movie, you know, on its own merits. The performances, you know, how the screenplay is executed. Like you said, we watched and talked to the director yesterday of Ben Affleck's upcoming film, which, you know, I enjoyed the conversation with him probably more than watching the movie. So
right.
he was a nice guy. But my point to you with all that is that, you know, when you have all these critics, man, and everybody has their list, you know, there is no such thing as, man, this is the best movie of the year. This is the best movie of the year according to a group of people. Because you and I talk about this every year, even in our own Film Critic Association, we vote for stuff sometimes, and I'm like, it wouldn't be my best picture pick, but if that's what the group went with, then that's what we're going to roll with. And you have to understand that everybody's not going to see or enjoy or support the work that you think needs to be supported, and Nate Parker's film is a clear example of that for me this year. So as I peruse lists of critics around the country on some of these award sites, and I see that a lot of people have it in their top 10, a lot of people don't have it in their top 5. I mean, I get that, you know, that you'll pick some of the safer work or some of the work that's coming down the line. And it's also too early, Travis, because you're still in early October, early to mid-October. And who knows what will happen in the next 4 weeks. The whole landscape can change in a month during award season.
You're right about that. The landscape can certainly change. There's bound to be one or two of the movies that many are talking about right now that are going to fall short. It happens every year. I have a couple of ideas on what those movies could be. that won't pan out as great as some people expect them to, like maybe Collateral Beauty with Will Smith, or, you know,
Moonlight.
Or Lily Lynn, long Halftime Walk. Well, Moonlight maybe, but
you haven't seen it yet, right?
Right, I haven't seen Moonlight yet, so I can't judge it. But I don't know how great Moonlight's prospects were compared to some of these other more high profile movies. Anyway, but the ones that people are talking about, like, and really expecting it, the ones that have really high profiles, like Ang Lee's Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk and Collateral Beauty with Will Smith, movies like that, and potentially Silence too. I mean, there's and maybe even Gold with Matthew McConaughey. These are all movies that are coming out like in the next few, couple months in December that are that many see as contenders. Some of them are going to fall short, and then they're
Silence,
just not going to
Silence,
be there.
I don't have any prospects of Silence, man. Because after looking at the runtime and looking at the subject matter, the only thing that is keeping that thing afloat is Martin Scorsese's name. Because if that movie was directed by Travis Hobson, that movie was going nowhere.
Well, and there's
Jim Gordon. It ain't going nowhere, man. Who's gonna stick to a 3-hour story?
There's the fact that it's one of those movies that's 20 years in the making, you know. So everybody's all anticipating it. So I mean, I'm dying to see it, but am I excited for Silence? Not really excited for it right now. So maybe I will be in the next few weeks. Right now, no. All right, let's take a quick break, and then you and I are going to come back. We're going to look at some of these other contenders that focus on the black experience, the black movies that really this is a tremendous year for African American cinema. So we're going to come back and look at a few others that will be competing with Birth of a Nation. So we'll be right back.
Put the kitchen back, right back here.
Richard, stop this. I don't know what you're saying.
I bought it. This whole acre. I'm gonna build you a house. Right here. Our house.
Scene from Loving, the tale of the true story of Richard and Mildred Loving, an interracial couple who took their case all the way to the Supreme Court to see that their marriage was recognized. It made it legal people across the country for interracial couples to get married. It's a tremendous story, one that I always hope to be brought to the big screen in a good movie, in a movie worthy of its story. The story's been told before in TV films and, you know, and things like that. So I knew it, but I really wanted to come to the big screen in capable hands. And this movie was directed by Jeff Nichols, and stars Ruth Negga and Joel Edgerton as the couple. And Tim, you and I just had a chance to see Loving just a couple of days ago, and it was really what spurred me on to want to talk about some of these other movies that are coming out and kind of compare their chances in this Oscar season. Because Loving, I think, and I've said this to you before, I think Loving may be the true front runner here when we're talking about movies centered around the issue of race. Compared to Birth of a Nation. And the reason why I say that, and now that I've seen it, I'm more convinced of it than ever, It's because this is a movie truly about bringing the people together. It's about love. And it's an easier sell, I think, for Oscar voters than something like Birth of a Nation would be. But without going too much into the movie itself, how do you feel about Loving's chances now that you've seen it?
Well, I'm almost in the same camp, like we reverse positions on the Birth of a Nation. I think Loving is a really good film. No, I mean, seriously. About Loving, that, and I kept thinking about it over the last couple of days, there is the way Nichols tells the story is straight on, right? There's mm-hmm. nothing showy about it. It's very low-key and understated. And I think the level, like what Oscar voters need is a moment in a movie that you can grasp onto to go, yeah, man, that's the movie. Like, we call it the fictitious Oscar scene. Like, you watch a movie,
right,
and it's like, yeah, that's the scene. Loving, to me, doesn't have that scene in it. And Ruth Negga, like I said, I think it's a really good movie, but it's played so understated and so kind of, I guess I want to use the word matter of fact, that, yeah, it's a movie that you'll watch and you'll like, but there's nothing there that will motivate somebody outside of the whole love thing. So, you know, I'm not going to jump ahead of you because, you know, this is your show. But when you start talking about those moments, there's going to be another movie you're going to bring up that we've already seen a trailer of. And in that trailer, there are two moments that make you go, oh, yeah, that's a movie that got my attention. This movie doesn't have that. Even Moonlight, to a certain extent, has a couple of moments in it that, for people out there that don't really understand what I'm talking about, when you try to sift through a lot of movies in a short amount of time, right, which a lot of Oscar voters do, you know, you need something to kind of grab their attention. Of course, The Birth of a Nation had several moments like that. Like I said, the other film with Denzel and Viola that I'm not going to use the name because I want you to bring it up first has a couple of really good moments in it. But that's the thing about Loving that I think for me stood out, that there's nothing that I can grab onto. It's a good film, but will that movie stand up to test the – will it stand up to some of the competition it has to go up against? And I don't know. I don't know. Matter of fact, I'm even shaky about Ruth Negga right now after watching it because – and that Benning and 20th Century Women, Taraji P. Henson, Viola Davis – there are some, I mean, is it Natalie Portman and Jackie? There's
Natalie
some
Portman,
women
Jackie,
out there
sure.
that are going to bring it, Travis, with showier performances,
yeah,
man.
I actually don't think Ruth Negga will get nominated for Best Actress based off what I saw. But in terms of the movie itself, and I actually think the understated approach it takes is perfectly, you know, it's perfect for the story it's trying to tell because this is a personal story. It's not meant to be a grand, sweeping epic. It's not meant to be larger than life. It's supposed to be a small story with tremendous impact. And that's what it's. And that's kind of what it was. And that's the way the Lovings were. They didn't really want the spotlight. They were trying to be out of it. So to kind of dress this up as you know, some huge court battle that they were fighting wouldn't have been true to the story either. So I think the way that the Nichols approached it was perfectly fine. But do you agree with me that Loving, regardless of what you think of the film itself, do you think it's the kind of movie that the Academy would be more willing to vote for than something like Birth of a Nation?
Well, I think honestly, you know, I heard you make the joke at the top that, you know, 2 years ago we were out at the BFCA celebration of black film, right? And this year, you're absolutely right. You were 2 years too early on that celebration. It should have been this year, right? The problem you run into, right, is let's say hypothetically there are 9 movies that are going to secure spots. So right now, just handicapping the field, La La Land, if we had to announce a day, would probably be La La Land, Manchester by the Sea, Fences, would be in. And I'm thinking there's probably a couple more films that sort of could kind of work itself into the top five, which leaves about four slots that you have to get in there. And I think this year with films like Hidden Figures and Fences, I think those two films, especially depending on the reception of Hidden Figures, you might have a good shot if you get those two in there, right? So if you get those two in there, Loving, which I think is a really good film, and ordinarily if you didn't have a Fences or if you didn't have a Hidden Figure, Loving would probably be your movie. But by virtue that you already have a couple of movies that you can put into, and I hate to say it this way, into the brown minority slot, because, I mean, whether you want to say that or if I'm stepping over the line, you can just look at the history, man, on how they nominate films, man. It's not like them is making this up. I mean, there's research to back me up that there's not going to be three films that have central African-American or African stories that will be nominated for Best Picture, even in a nine-picture field. That's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So two, yes. Three, nah, I don't think that's going to happen. So saying that, Loving is going to get knocked out. You know, I just say that whole long speech just to say, I think Loving's spot may have been taken up because Loving needs to show you more, which is why the other two films I'm talking about are probably the two that I think actually have a better shot.
Well, let's look at a couple of those movies that I think you're talking about. And one of those, I think, is obvious, and that's Fences. The next film, directed by Denzel Washington, also stars Viola Davis. This is based on the Langston Hughes, wasn't it?
No. August Wilson.
August Wilson. God, where did I get Langston Hughes from? August Wilson's.
I mean, they're both playwrights, man. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know. I just got the names mixed up. August Wilson's his stage play. And both of them starred in the stage production and won Tony Awards for their performances. And this has been a passion project of Denzel's for a while. I mean, I remember writing about this a few years ago, back when he first started on the stage production, that he wanted to make a movie out of it. And it took him a few years, but he finally got it done. And we recently saw footage from it, saw a trailer for it, for Fences, which tells the story of a man who never got a chance to, of a black man, who never got a chance to fulfill his dream of being a baseball player because the color barrier was still very much in place back then. Now, everything we've heard about this movie and everything we've seen from it, I think, paints this as if not a Best Picture contender, which I think it probably will be, then at least acting contention for Denzel and Viola Davis. I'm assuming you've heard the same thing, right?
Well, you know, our good friend Wilson Morales called me from Toronto after having a conversation with somebody, and basically was told, you realize it's going to win Best Picture this year. And I was like, come on, man, Fences. And then I saw the trailer, and I was, like, blown away. Because I use the analogy, when Tiger Woods first played, when he was in his peak playing golf, it was often said that if Tiger Woods was at 70 to 80%, he could still kind of beat most of the field, right? But when Tiger Woods played the best golf he could play, you and everybody else could play the best golf you could play, and you just would not, you didn't have a chance to beat him. And it's the same thing when you talk about Denzel Washington and Viola Davis. When Denzel Washington is at the top of his game, he literally is clearly one of the best in the game. And that's counting Hanks and everybody else. Denzel Washington as an actor, superb. So,
absolutely.
There's a small club of five people, man, that have won three Oscars. And Daniel Day-Lewis is probably the most prominent member of that club. I think Denzel Washington, to me, looking at the field, and he's so well respected, and he's so well liked, and it's almost like a Leo case, right? There's certain actors that other actors just want to honor. They just want to love on those actors, right? Denzel Washington, to me, is the front runner for best actor this year, and we will see. But if he's getting nominated as for Best Actor, and Viola is probably, if not as a front runner, is at least in the top five for Best Actress, that film absolutely is going to get a nomination, man. So Fences is one of the films that I think, along with Hidden Figures, these big showing performances, again, and I understand your point, Travis, because I respect you about what Jeff Nichols did with Loving, but I think that might be a detriment to that kind of understated performance. It's not memorable to people, and you'll watch it and you'll like it, but you'll be like, hey, man, there are other films out there, man, that just resonate with me more. And that's why I think Loving is kind of on the back end of some of these films.
And I think my thing about Loving is that the story will trump anything else. Because I think that's why I keep saying that I think it's one of those movies that's easier for the Academy to vote for. It's a good film that deserves recognition, but also its story is probably a better message to send and to celebrate than almost anything else that's out there. I think that's the point I'm trying to make. It's more than anything else. Its story about about bringing the races together is different than every other movie that's out here, you know, that's an option this year. And considering all the drama Hollywood has gone through and considering the racial tensions that are in the country right now, Loving seems like the movie that would best counter that.
Which is really interesting, because where we're going right now, the best movie that I think would speak to that issue would be The Birth of a Nation, but the Academy is not made up of people.
Because Birth of a Nation meets it with violence. So no, that would not be about it. The ending of the movie is about the violence he perpetrates. And that's the way the Academy will see it too. I agree with you that the movie is about more than that, but his solution to the problem is violence. So that's why I think they'll be less inclined to vote for it. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm just telling you what I think their perspective would be.
May I jump in for a second and counter that?
Yeah,
and just say something.
Of course.
Now I really want you to hear what you just said. You said that his solution was violence, right? So let's contrast that to 2 years ago with 12 Years a Slave, right? So here's a story, which the thing that I find really interesting about having these discussions, and not necessarily because you and I talk all the time, so I'm talking about like when we have discussions with outsiders, right? The thing that I find interesting about this movie is that, you know, people always talk about they just don't want to see slavery movies, right? So I'm tired of slavery movies. And I go, but this one's kind of different, right? Because this is probably the first time we've seen a slavery movie where the slave kind of stood up and was like, you know, man, this thing is wrong. We need to do something about this. So the fact that this character independently stands up and wants to kind of revolt against the system, again, you're absolutely right, because that sends a message to the voters that that's not really the kind of slavery film we like. We like the slavery film that's kind of like what Steve McQueen did. So you're absolutely right, but I'm going, come on, man, we can't fall into that trap, man, because there's the violence that's perpetrated by him, but then there's also the response of what they did to him, which is even more violent than what he did.
Absolutely.
So I say all that to say, yeah, you're right, Travis, but it's like, man, I'm not trying to let that go easy, because it still bothers me that this is going to be a movie we're going to be talking about months after the awards are over and how this movie was marketed and treated.
I totally agree. The other movie that you mentioned, Hidden Figures, this one stars Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Spencer, Janelle Monáe. And this is about the three women who were integral to the NASA space program back in the 1960s, I believe. This is a movie that a lot of people are looking at also as another potential Oscar contender. I have not seen anything from this yet. Has Wilson seen this yet?
No. Wilson hasn't seen it, but Wilson and I went to NABJ and they showed extended clips of it. So I've seen enough of it to know that it's kind of like the right stuff or Apollo 13 kind of, I always hate to say, meets the help. But, you know, that kind of feel about it's pro-women and the women are kind of being discriminated against. But Taraji P. Henson, in all the clips I've seen, looks dynamite. And the irony of it is, you know, now we take the Emmys, where it's How to Get Away with Murder and Empire, and then they take their battle to the Golden Globes and the Academy Awards. So now it's Hidden Figures versus Fences, with these two going up against each other again. And I'm like, wow, pretty good.
Yeah, I just realized that Mahershala Ali is in this too. I totally forgot about that. That guy's everywhere, man. I think he's going to be, in a few years, if not within the next year or two, he's going to be the next big thing. I mean, he's going to take home probably an Emmy somewhere. He's going to take home an Oscar somewhere. Mahershala Ali, I think, is going to be huge in the next couple of years.
I agree with you.
I have a feeling about that. So Hidden Figures is another one that looks like a major contender this year. A few others that we saw earlier in the year that probably won't get nominated, but you never know. You never know what can happen. Queen of Katwe, South Side with You, Moonlight, Collateral Beauty, we haven't seen yet, with Will Smith. What do you think of the chances of some of these movies making an impact?
Well, Barry Jenkins' Moonlight, which I saw about 3 weeks ago, man, and wrote a review, I think is, I have to tread lightly, because I don't want to alienate any group, man. And I know I've been talking to people about this movie, and the reaction, everybody, you talking about the black gay movie? Like, no, dude, it's a tender love story told about a young man trying to discover his sexual identity. You mean the black gay movie? Yes, but it's and I think the thing that I had a question last night from somebody was asking me to compare it to Brokeback Mountain. And the thing that Jenkins does in this movie, which I think is highly effective, is that the main character is not over sexualized in a way that, like, we normally see when there are stories, the same sex stories, that, you know, have that over sexualization that turns off a lot of heterosexuals. And I think the storytelling is so expertly done that his sexual preference is not necessarily the focus of the movie, but it's just something that he's trying to come to grips with. And I think Moonlight is, it's the sort of story, like, when you talk about loving in Moonlight, I could see Moonlight having more of an impact than what Loving would have, even though I think Loving is a really good story. It's just kind of like the element of how Nichols told the story that I'm having issues with as I compare it to all of the other films that I've seen that it will compete against.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just black films, Travis. I'm talking about all movies.
Right. Right, and Moonlight also stars Andre Holland, Gervonta Rhodes, Janelle Monáe again.
Mahershala Ali is in that one.
Mahershala Ali, yep. This is, oh, told you, these guys everywhere, man. That's another one that I've heard. Everybody I know who's seen it has sung its praises higher than almost anything I've heard this season. So I'm really, really excited to get a chance to see it, which is funny because I've missed like three screenings of it, which would make you think that I'm not excited to see it.
Yeah, you're in a rush, man. It'll be there. Are you going to wait to see it at Middleburg, or are you going to go and see it before Middleburg?
You heard what's his name yesterday at our interview saying that they're going to do another Moonlight screening in a few days. And I saw, I'm hoping to see it then. And he said it'll be in the evening, because that's been my problem. They keep showing it in the morning when I'm like, really? Oh, man. I'm tired to come out there to watch it. So I'm going to try to see it at night whenever they have that next one. So I can hopefully clear that space in my Middleburg schedule, and I can go see something else instead. I hate going to Middleburg to see movies that I could have seen before then. That makes me angry.
I had a Middleburg theory for you, Travis, that I was going to ask you about. Is it possible that we could just blow off all of the Friday and Saturday Spotlight movies and then just go on Sunday, and in a row you can see Loving, La La Land? So I thought about that, and I was like, nah.
It probably is doable to do that. But, you know, the best part about Middleburg is being out there in Middleburg. And that's like, that's like the best part. You gotta want to hang out there a little bit amongst the rich people. The people we'll never see the rest of the year, and go hang out up there.
And people who look at you strangely when you show up, they're like, oh yeah, you're one of those film fest people.
It's real burden. here comes the rabble has been lit back into town. I see. Okay, for a few days. All right.
Yeah, man. That is too funny. Funny yet true. But no, I was thinking about that because they've got three major movies in a row on Sunday, and I was like, I don't think I want to wait to Sunday to see La La Land because I'm so anticipating it. But yeah,
I will guarantee you somebody will do something like that. They won't go the rest of the day. They'll just come in on Sunday. It would be somebody like Christian Hammaker will do that. He like won't be there. He won't be there the whole time. But then he'll suddenly show up on Sunday. And he'll just be there to watch the major movies. It'll be somebody like that.
But it happens. That's my and then the United Kingdom, which you didn't mention, they saw the handwriting on the wall and moved that the next year because they were like, it's just too crowded.
Smart move.
On the back end of the schedule.
It's a smart move. But they moved it to, I can't remember the exact date, but it's on the earlier side of next year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like February the 17th of next year, which I thought
moving it
well,
out of.
So.
They're moving it out of the Oscar race entirely, which is kind of sad because it looks like it could have been something any other year. Whatever.
Yeah, man, we're making more movies now, man. So we don't have to put our hopes and dreams on the Butler and Mandela, or as Travis Hobson referred to it as the movie about short pants. The short pants epic.
I was thinking about something the other day, and I was thinking about the fact that, you say that we're making more movies now, and you're right, we are, but we're making more quality movies now. We used to complain all the time about the really shitty black movies that came out, your lottery tickets and things like that, but we don't really see that many of those movies anymore.
Oh, no, like, my brother. They make those movies. They just are now drowned out. I mean, come on, man. The perfect match.
I know that they still exist. Trust me. I know they're still out there. I see them, too. But they're not being played in multiplexes. They're not being screened. They're not being put out there for mainstream consumption as the only thing we have to offer like they used to be. You know what I mean?
Well, that's true, man. I mean, I think what you're saying is that Hollywood is now making more prestige films. You know, prestige films are like these big kind of showy awards movies, or you're getting better indie work. Moonlight is a perfect example. That's a movie that didn't have a huge budget but has a really good story. You know, Loving is another example of a movie that, you have a couple of really top-line leads. And Ruth Negga is somebody that a lot of people don't really know. But you're absolutely right, man. But there still is Madea Boo and When the Bow Breaks and Meet the Blacks and Perfect Match. And I mean, there's still a bunch of really stanky movies that have left a foul odor in multiplexes.
later this month we have Boo and Madea Halloween. So I just wanted to make sure to remind you that that's coming out so you can screen it here. A Madea Halloween.
Oh, I'm talking about it. Yeah, Tyler Perry, man. There was a time that a Tyler Perry movie coming out would rock the opening weekend of the box office. This one will rock it, too, in a very different way. Nobody's going to see that movie, man.
No, it has no heat at all.
and it opens the same day as Moonlight, man. So Moonlight or Madea Boo. You make the choice.
Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah, Queen of Cotway, that's probably not gonna do anything, even though I think it's a respectable movie. Southside with You, we both liked as well. I would have liked to have seen Parker Sawyers gets some recognition for his performance as Barack Obama. I do think he's really good. But that movie's probably not going to go anywhere either, I don't think. So.
Man, were those two pretty people or what that we had a chance to talk to? Wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Even 7 or 8 months pregnant, man. Tika something.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Tika something. Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
So, lucky guy.
So, Yes, man. No, yes, we are. Look, yes. Oh, you funny. Yeah, yes, we are as well.
Oh, man.
Hopefully
so,
now.
Tim,
so wait a minute, Travis. Yeah. So here's the question.
Yeah.
Critics' Choice Awards coming up in 2 months, man. Taraji P. Henson, Viola Davis, Denzel probably will be in the room. Will Nate Parker be in the room?
That is a really good question. I don't know how much they're going to want to put him out in front of the press tour for all this. I mean, I know he's been out there, but it feels like they're pulling back on him a little bit. So I don't know. That's a really good question. That I didn't even think about.
It's going to be interesting, man, because I'm sure the La La Land folks will be in the room, and it looks like the Manchester by the Sea folks will be in the room. So I'm always interested with who in the room, because that lets us know who's on the radar, at least early in the award season.
Yeah. The real question, as it is every year, is will Barkhad Abdi be there?
You are a fool. Barkhad, we met him, what was that, a couple of years ago? He did his one and done. You will never see Barkhad at another Critics' Choice Awards unless there's another movie made with Africans and they need his type.
To his credit, he's managed to have a career beyond that movie. So I said that was it for him, like he was done. But he's been in a few movies. Remember, he was in Eye in the Sky last year with Helen Mirren.
He was in
Grimsby, that unfortunate film. He'll be in the next Blade Runner movie too. So I mean, so he's forged himself a career. Back then 2 years ago, I was like, you get your picture of Barkhad Abdi because you ain't going to see him no more. So get your picture now. But here's the better question, man.
Look, here's the better question. You might want to do this on another show. Who's going to be the hot babe in the room that's going to get nominated? Because, like, you weren't there last year, so you missed Amy Schumer. You missed Alicia Vikander. I'm like, Travis, that was the wrong year to take off year, brother.
you have no idea how much I love Amy Schumer. I like me some Amy Schumer.
Oh, man. She's so cool, man. So I don't know. I'm always looking forward to who the hot babe in the room is, man, you know, or who's the hot babe I'm going to piss off that they're going to run from me like Sharon Stone did last year. And if you listen to Sharon, all I wanted to do was get a hug, baby. It's not that deep.
Man, well, I'm sure Emily Blunt would be there again, so you'll get to see her again at least.
Man, if she's going to be there, she won't be there for the movie that's opening this weekend.
No, she won't. We're not even talking about the girl in the trade in this episode. We only talked about birthday.
I love Emily Blunt, but you are getting no love for that.
No, not at all. I think it'll still do fairly well at the box office, but no, it's not that good of a movie. Anyway, we're actually about running out of time here. So Tim, tell everybody what's going on over at thefilmgordon.com right now.
Man, it's filmgordon.com, man. We're trying to do as much as we can do. We're coming down the home stretch. There are reviews. You can check that out. Also, the big show with
Zach. I like that selling point. I hope that's not all like on the website. We're doing as much as we can do. Yeah, that's not great on the top of the pages.
Hey, man. Look, I'm doing as much as I can do, managing the big show. I brought back the Film Gordon Daily, which is the newspaper that Nell Creek turned me on to. So I'm just trying to do my thing, man.
All right, my friend.
I love Travis. He's like, that's it? That's your plug? Hey, man, I'm doing the best I can, and I'm doing my thing. If you want to know what that thing is, go to thefilmgordon.com, listen to the big show, subscribe to the paper.
You need to have somebody famous come out there and say that. Filmgordon.com, where they do the best they can do.
Well, you know, it's interesting you would say that, man, because I'm going to put a card in my tuxedo and go to the Critics' Choice Awards and catch somebody and go, can you just read this into my phone real quick?
Yeah, it's about time to get that old thing ready. If they would send us some information about it, then I would start planning. But they won't.
Well, I spoke with
November.
Yeah, I spoke with Jim of Judy, who basically told me that we've now been cleared to bring guests this year, which I know you are very excited about. And so we're going to have fun, bro.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I guess I can commence looking for someone to accompany me to.
Or just call up one of the superstars. Rosario Dawson's free. I'm sure she'd love to go and accompany you.
You know what? Rosario Dawson being there is all the reason in the world for me to not bring anybody, because I intend to leave with Rosario Dawson. So I don't want anybody getting in the way of that. So.
Well, you know her mother loves me, so it's going to be tough for you to get past me with her mom.
Your mother does. Her mother does love you, and I love her daughter. So that's perfectly fine. We the four of us could go out to Roscoe's together after the show.
Okay. Mama Dawson ain't mad though, man. You hating on Mama Dawson? Mama Dawson is not bad.
No, not at all. All right, man. All right, I'm about to get out of here. So I will talk to you soon. I will see you at a movie. Probably in a few days, I'm sure. So, have a good weekend,
my
friend.
All right, so, brother. You all too,
right.
Man. Later. Take care.
All right, that's what made it too important. We went really long on that, so we won't have time to do the DVDs or the news this week. We spent so much time talking about this year's Black Oscar contenders, but it was a good conversation. It was fun, though, so that's all good. That's all that matters. So this has been Cinema Royale, and where's my outro music? There it is. This has been Cinema Royale. I hope you enjoyed the show. We reviewed Birth of a Nation, finally. We talked with my man Tim Gordon about Birth of a Nation's chances at the Oscars, loving hidden figures, fences, all the black films that really seem like they're making a push this award season. And I can't wait to see what emerges out of the group. I still have a feeling it's going to be loving, but we'll see. Next show, I don't know. I'm kind of playing it by ear. Just a couple of things on the horizon. But go ahead and check out punchdrunkcritics.com. There you can find my review of Birth of a Nation and all the sequel movies, such as Girl on the Train, American Honey, and more. You can also find my interview that I did early this year with Nate Parker for Birth of a Nation. So go ahead and check out punchdrunkcritics.com for that. I am Travis Hobson, the Cinema Royale. I will see you soon. Everybody have a great weekend.